I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like I'm going to have to clear my throat a lot this time. I don't know what's going on.
I know. I didn't make my tea.
Do you normally make tea before we record?
I do. It gets me in the zone.
The taste of tea gets you in podcasting headspace?
It does. It absolutely does. I'm Lauren.
And he's Chris.
And this is our bi-weekly feature called Off Bites, where Chris and I run through a few of the offbeat headlines we've come across, but didn't quite get time to squeeze into a full episode.
And we want to hear your suggestions too. You can send them to us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com or find us on X, formerly Twitter. I'm at Chris C. Blake.
And I'm at LaurenBerry91. Our host, Mike Rogers, is at KRLD Mike Rogers. And we've promised Mike that he'll be able to join the Off Besties for an Off Bites episode coming up soon. Okay, we've got some more offbeat stories to talk to you about today. I've got two here that are aviation related. One takes place in my hometown, or one is about my hometown, and the other one I wrote about. So the first one is about airport noise that nudged Chicago, Illinois to the top of the noisiest city list. So this new study found that Chicago is one of the noisiest cities, well, noisiest large cities in the whole country. It's planes, it's trains, it's automobiles. One of my favorite movies, by the way, also takes place partially in Chicago. Actually, construction work too contributes to this. And whoever wrote this article also noted the bucket drummers, who are actually like really fun but noisy entertainment you can see here on the street in Chicago. A researcher with Steel Guard Safety and Noise Control product manufacturer behind the study said that the airports and traffic density are some of the things that really contribute to this. And I, being a Chicago native, can attest to this. It's a noisy place. I find it very comforting when I'm out. You know, I would go visit my dad's family in Wisconsin sometimes, and they live in a smaller town, or his grandparents lived in a smaller town, and it would kind of creep me out a little bit. I like some noise. The little area that I grew up in mainly is actually right, almost right next to O'Hare Airport and definitely under the flight pattern. So like, it's like home to me to hear the sound of just jets flying over my head. It just feels really peaceful and calming to me. And then when I was a local reporter in Chicago, I actually would cover this smaller airport in a suburb close to Chicago for private jets. And the people who lived near that airport would complain so much about it because, you know, they don't have quite the same regulations when it's private jets. So they would fly these old planes that like were really loud, or planes they kind of like did stuff to themselves to, I don't know, go faster or something. And they would fly really low. They would fly at all different times of night. So I would definitely rather live in the city near O'Hare than live like near the private jet airport where people are making their own rules. But you've been to Chicago. Did you find it noisier than Dallas?
I guess I would probably say so. I think Dallas probably isn't as noisy as a lot of northern large cities because it doesn't really have the bustling public transit system that a lot of these other cities have. There is a light rail line that runs through Dallas, but it doesn't make the same kind of noise that a subway does. And yeah. I agree with you. I find complete silence to be a little eerie.
Right. Yeah.
I grew up about 10 minutes from DFW Airport. So
there
are planes flying in all the time. I've also lived in Brooklyn for a few years and I like a little bit of street noise. However, I will say we went to New York to visit family over Christmas and we stayed at a hotel in Midtown, kind of near Grand Central. And it was so freaking loud. There was like construction all night.
Oof.
It was bad. And I don't mind a little bit of noise, but it was to the point where I was like waking up every couple hours, just not restful. I was like, maybe next time we'll stay at a hotel somewhere like on the east or west side of the city where it's not right in the middle.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, sometimes I lived by a park where people could get loud sometimes, but it wasn't all the time. It was just like if there were really rowdy people there. And then it wasn't where I was living, but I used to, when I lived in a different part of the city, go to a yoga studio that was right next to the L elevated train. And while we were like doing like our poses and stuff, you could hear like doors open at the left at Montrose. And it could kind of get you out of the peaceful yoga vibes a little bit. But I think that's a charming part of living in the city.
Or maybe it was challenging to force you to keep your mind on the task at hand.
You know what? I think that's like a good Zen answer. I agree with you. Okay, so the next one is also about aviation. So I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but I've definitely been reporting about it a lot. Earlier this year, there was a report of a door flying off a Boeing flight. It was actually in an a Alaska Air flight, but it was a Boeing plane, and this door flew off mid-flight. People had been freaked out by this. And since it happened, there have been, continued reports about safety issues with the construction of these planes. So that's one scary thing that's happening on flights right now. And then last year, there were also these reports about unruly passengers on planes. So now we're afraid of doors flying off, and we're also still afraid of unruly passengers. And there was recently an incident where there's actually a fist fight on a plane. It was from California to Kauai, Hawaii, which again, this is supposed to be peaceful. It's supposed to be like my peaceful yoga vibes. You're just going to go to Kauai and relax on the beach. But no, there was this guy. So there's a video of this fight. There was a guy, he kind of like seems to swat. He's in the, aisle with the seats near the window. And he kind of swats at this guy who is in the like traveling aisle. And then the guy punches him. And then they start punching each other like across the seats. A bunch of like the other passengers on the plane have to break them apart. I guess they both got detained once they got to Kauai, but I'm not clear if there were any arrests that wasn't available yet when I wrote about this. I don't know what about being on a plane lately, like post-pandemic, has made people so aggressive. But, and I love flying, but these stories that I write about the planes falling apart, about people fighting on the planes, it kind of makes me not want to get on a plane. I'm like, I could just stay home. I don't have to travel anywhere. How about you? Are you afraid of any of this?
I am. I'm kind of worried about being on one of those flights where somebody just loses their mind and causes a ruckus or tries to assault a flight attendant, and thinking about how would I react. I would think I would get up and try to help the person under attack. One of the other thoughts I had with this one in particular, though, was they were going to Hawaii. And a lot of people, when they're on the way to vacation, tend to have a few drinks on the flight.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I'm wondering if alcohol was a factor in this altercation.
That's good. We've become like the anti-drinking podcast that we were talking about no alcoholic beverages this week. Today we're like, don't have a bar fight on a plane, 35,000 feet up, not the time.
I'm not anti-drinking on the plane. Just don't be obnoxious. Same way you wouldn't want a pet or a baby to be obnoxious on a flight.
Yeah.
We're comparing drunk adults to babies because that's what they are.
It's true. And like even drunk adults though, like have some know where you are. Don't be a runaway horse on a plane, If I had again, I'm kind of like a mellow drunk generally, but like if I had a few drinks on the plane to Kauai, I would like the difficult thing would be getting me to like get up out of my chair. I'd be like too chill. I wish I was on a plane to Kauai.
You'd be like, I don't need the beach. I have this chair.
I have this chair and this plain champagne.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've also got some stories for me, and both of them are about Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day week.
It is. And if you're listening to this, that means it's 2 days after Valentine's Day. So if you forgot, everything's on sale. Go get it.
And come up
This
with a really good excuse. Say you
exactly.
were punched on a plane and had to go to the hospital.
This first story revolves around animals on Valentine's Day and comes from the Brookfield Zoo, which we've done a story on before. It was about the virgin shark birth. This article was about the way that animals mate and whether they stay together or not. it found that some of them mate for years. Penguins tend to stick together the longest. I think that probably comforts a lot of people that see these nature documentaries and see the penguins waddling along together.
I think the penguins are comforting too. I love penguins.
Gorillas live in groups that consist of the male, multiple female partners, and their offspring. And when the male gets too old to defend the group, a younger male moves in. So the females become cougars, essentially.
Wow. Okay.
It says, while some animal species have multiple partners, they do have a shared sense of responsibility.
So kind of a polycule of primates. That's a reality show. We should pitch that. Yeah.
Well, and the reality show apparently could center around naked mole rats, according to an official from the zoo. He says one female does all the reproduction. Everybody else kind of services her. They make sure all the offspring are raised. The food is there and the tunnels are cleaned out. But it's the female who is essentially doing most of the work while the male of the species kind of makes sure there's food and all those kind of things. The one I think that a lot of us remember hearing about maybe growing up in elementary school or middle school is the praying mantis, is that the male and the female will mate. And as soon as they're done, the female will turn around and kill him.
Yeah. That is a cautionary tale for Valentine's Day. Certainly.
It is. And it could be a cautionary tale for you if you're listening to this on February 16th and haven't done anything.
Careful out there, fellas.
And our second Valentine's Day story is about scams. The FBI is warning Americans to be on the lookout as romance scammers attempt to take advantage of the vulnerable. A special agent with the FBI said that romance scams are big this time of year, understandably, and he says the elderly population is the most vulnerable. Artificial intelligence has changed the game when it comes to taking advantage of people. Romance scams generated around $1.3 billion in losses 2 years ago, according to the Federal Trade Commission, with around 70,000 people falling victims to those scams. So math is not like a strong suit for me, but I would think that $1.3 billion spread between 70,000 people is still a significant amount of money per person.
Yeah. I mean, when it's a scam, any amount of money hurts, I feel like. Now, I'm just reading this for a little bit. Do these happen on like Tinder or Bumble?
I wouldn't think so, because I would assume that the population who is being targeted the most is probably not on a ton of those apps.
Yeah.
Maybe email.
But also a lot of Gen Z, let me make sure that I'm correct about this. But Gen Z fall victim to scams a lot too. Okay, so govtech.com said that though they have been raised in the internet age and have a deep familiarity with their devices, members of Gen Z tend to be more frequent victims of identity theft, account hacking, and romance scams than their grandparents. So it'd probably be like baby boomers. That's a 2020 report from the National Cybersecurity Alliance that found that. So it could be happening on these like Tinder and stuff like that. So I wonder, it's like people, you think they're dating them, you're like texting and they ask for money or something?
The FBI source in this article said the stories range from I'm sick or I have a shipment of gold that I'm trying to get across and I'm trying to give you the ambassador of whatever email address, or you have to pay a shipment fee to get your money back. All signs that you could be falling victim to a scam.
Hmm.
And in case you were wondering, 1.3 billion divided by 70,000 is $18,571 each. So they're still losing nearly $20,000 per person to these scams.
I don't think I've ever fallen prey to an internet, a phishing scam or anything like that.
I don't think I have either, but thankfully Odyssey has fantastic training videos.
I've had to do so many, like it would be really sad if I fell victim to it. We have to do them all the time.
I know on my personal email address, I get emails occasionally that say like, thanks for your order or something. And it's something I know I didn't get. And it has an attachment of what is supposedly a receipt. I just don't open those.
Yeah. I have like an email address that I've had for years that I use basically just, it's like my email for shopping. And I like that gets so many scam things. I just never really open any email I receive from that. Unless I know that I like Old Express or Urban Outfitters or something to send me an email.
That's your burner account. It has no personal information.
Exactly. It's just to receive scams, really. And I'm not going to give it out, sadly.
No, not going to give it out for story tips.
No.
Shopping and story tips to Lauren Barry
Please
at.
don't try to romance something offbeat at odyssey.com, guys.
Oh, yeah, please don't. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to bring down the company's tech.
All right. So that was pretty fun. Do you have any tips for people avoiding the romance scams from our many phishing seminars that we've had to go to?
If you see a guy in a bathrobe that looks like he hasn't showered walk into your room, don't listen to him.
Don't listen to him. Don't download that attachment. Don't do it. Amazing. Well, it's always so fun to hang out with you, Chris. We've got some more episodes of Something Offbeat coming up. On Monday, we're going to be talking about a chain restaurant renaissance. That's hopefully going to make everybody super hungry. And then we've got some more stuff coming down the pipeline, some more Something Offbeat off bites. And we've got some more guests hopefully coming on the show. So yeah, send us your emails. Let us know what you want to hear about. And yeah, bye off besties. Say bye off besties yourself.
Lauren says I have to say bye off besties too.
Very good. Thanks, Chris.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.